Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing quite like taking that big step of doing something slightly different with the 8 o'clock crowd, that early service crowd that is the most dyed in the wool of the Lutherans, that there happened to be something like saying you only get to sing half of the hymn for the sermon. Before the sermon, you have to wait for the other half until the end. I'm just glad I'm not getting hit by tomatoes right now, whether ripe or overly ripe. But as we come to our text for today, and especially on this day that we celebrate All Saints Day, as I reviewed our texts and read them and prayed over them, one of the phrases that kept coming back to me was wait and see. So often in our culture, we hear the phrase wait and see. Perhaps we've planted a garden with children, or children at a school plant a garden. They put these little seeds in the ground, knowing that there are plants that are supposed to grow up, but not really knowing what those plants are supposed to look like. Our children would say, son, daughter, wait and see. You'll just see in the fall how many tomatoes we get so that we can throw them at Pastor when he changes up the service. But not Pastor Bloom, because he's awesome, just the guest. He hasn't earned the right yet. It may be also when we make an investment, we decide upon something, we do a lot of research, we make plans, and we look ahead to retirement, because you all are very young and are still looking ahead to retirement yet. As we look ahead to that retirement, we choose an investment that we think will be able to provide for us as we go through the twilight years of our lives, and we say, well, wait and see how well that pays off. May be something even more short-term. We elect a political candidate that we think is going to make the right decisions for our country and be able to provide peace and prosperity for all, and we wait and see if this politician is going to keep their promises or not. So many times in our lives we have to wait and see. I know I tried working out once. They told me, wait and see, you'll feel great in about a month. And I said, I like being fat and not hurting. Worked for me. I didn't wait and see. But I think as we look to our scriptures for today, as scripture in general, but also particularly our passages for today, as we commemorate All Saints Day, as we remember those who have gone before us, we're reminded that as Christians, even though when we walk out these doors, everyone tells us to wait and see inside this place, when we hear the promises of God, and also as we carry them out, we take out a countercultural message to the rest of the world saying, you say wait and see, I say don't wait, see what God has done for us. See who God has made us to be. It's completely flipped upside down. It doesn't seem like it should make sense. It doesn't seem that for something that we have to wait for, we shouldn't have to wait and see. Everything that's inside of us kind of tears at us. Does anybody not have trouble with that? Don't wait and see. I put you all asleep already. That's amazing. Normally, at least I keep a good solid 5% awake. As we go to our Epistle of John, the heart of our message for this morning, we have the opportunity to read along with John and to see what he's written as he dives into the meat of his letter, of his epistle. He speaks about the love that God has shown to us in Christ. He speaks about the way that God the Father sent his Son. That story that we all know so well, that God sent his Son into this world to live that perfect life. We confess it every week in the Creed, how he lived that perfect life and then he died on a cross on our behalf, even though there was no sin in him, so that he could pay for the sins of the entire world. And that broadly sketched to be all people of all times and all places, all who call upon the name of Jesus. But I think the most stunning thing about it for me is the way that it's referenced. It's not that see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be children of God. If you look at our text there, that fourth line, third and fourth line there, second and third, excuse me, I can't read today or count, one of the two. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. I think there's an important distinction there. Because if you think back to the beginning of Genesis, how was the world created? Did God simply wave his hand and make everything appear? Or did God say, "Let there be light"? And then there was light. Did he say, "Let there be a separation between the darkness and the light so that you would have day and night"? You see, God is a God who works by speaking. God is a God who makes things happen by his words. Where you or I, to make those plants grow, would have to physically place them into dirt and then water them over and over and over again, because this is Nebraska and it never rains when it's supposed to in the summer. You guys probably won't get that as well as farmers would. I know we have a few of you out there. You see, we have to do things to make things happen, but when God speaks, when God uses his word, things happen. You see, it happened to us in our lives too. You see, God called us into his family by water and his word. He placed his name upon us, he chose us, and he said, "You are my child who I am going to protect and love. My son has died for you, and because of that, you will inherit life eternal." That promise was spoken over many of us before we had any sort of cognition of doing good or doing wrong. That death that was died for us and that resurrection that was won for us so many thousands of years ago, that was placed upon us by God's word. We come together and we hear about that narrative of God's salvation throughout history as we look through time and space. And today we have that opportunity to focus especially on the way that God gives us a membership in that body of all the saints. We heard about them in Revelation, our first reading for today. We heard about how John was present in a vision before God, and he had the opportunity to see all of the saints and all of this glory and majesty and somehow come out of it alive. I don't know how that happened. I wish I were John. But John teaches us something very important as we go through here. We see all of those saints, and we look to the way that they praise God as they have come together around that throne, as they've seen the full fruition of what God has promised to us. He gets the chance to see that vision that God has for his church, as we hear about in 1 John later on, talking about what we will become. In light of that vision John had in Revelation, we get the opportunity to see what this body of Christ really is. We get to see, as we come together on Sunday mornings in our Sunday best, we all look great. But the reality is that God hopes for more for his church than just this. And the reality is that we are more than just the souls who sit in these pews together today. We're wonderful. We're complete. We're the body that God has given to be together in this place right now. But the reality is, we know, many of us, on this All Saints Day, that there's perhaps a person or more than one person in our lives that we loved dearly that's missing from this fellowship. It may be that they had worshiped in this place for decades. It may be that they were family or friends from another location who worshiped in a different church. We know, as we are together as the body of saints on earth, the saints militant, the ones that we sung about, and for all the saints, and just that last verse when I cut you off before the good stuff, we know, as the people of God, there's something woefully missing. And the temptation before us is to say, "Well, you world, you wait and see. Satan, you wait and see what we're going to look like on the last day." The temptation is to say, "Well, wait and see what happens later." To that, God's response is, "Don't wait. See." You see, my friends, it can be very difficult for us to look behind what's right in front of our eyes. I mean, that's what eyes are for, after all, and that's how we see, isn't it? We look through our eyes and we see what's around us. If we break out of our Lutheran mold and we look around at the faces of those who are in the pews around us, I'm inviting you to move. I'll ask Pastor to close his eyes so you don't see, he doesn't see you moving. Look around at the souls who are around you in the pews. It's okay. No lightning will strike, I promise. Wonderful, great people of God. And yet, even in the midst of this blessed communion, we know that there's something missing. We know that we still face sin and all of the evil. We know when we walk out these doors for approximately 166 hours of our week, we're going to face a whole bunch of people who tell us, wait and see. Wait and see if this Jesus thing actually works out. That may not be that crass or that boldly placed, but the reality is the world outside says wait and see. But our God says you don't have to wait. Because you see right now. You see, when we come together and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's not just that we come to this altar in this place and we as Emmanuel Lutheran Church celebrate the Lord's Supper as a fellowship together. The reality is that when we come together to celebrate our Lord's Supper, when we receive that feast divine, that fellowship with our Lord, it's not just us in this place, but it's us joined with that fellowship in heaven, all of God's saints on earth and all those who have gone before us joined together with us. You see, that's the true wonder and mystery of what our God gives to us. That's what we don't see. That's what isn't in front of our eyes, but yet God says is here. You see, God makes things happen by making promises. God speaks and his word is effective. We know it from Scripture. God says something and things change. God speaks and people become his children. God speaks his word over elements like bread and wine. They become his son's body and blood. They are wrapped up in, with, and under those elements, and we receive the very benefits of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And that's not a promise just for the future. That's something that happens here and now. Even though I can't explain it to you, and I don't know anyone who can, that promise happens now. We don't have to wait and see if it's going to happen. It's here. It's for us. And because God has spoken it to us, it's ours. We don't have to wait and see because God has spoken. We are called as members of that body of saints. And as members of that body of saints, we join together and sing those last four verses of For All the Saints.